particular matter. We did see, you know, skirmishes here and there. We saw cases where people were brutalized. The one that's, you know, fresh in our minds is the lady who had part of her face, you know, destroyed, and she was bleeding while she came back up to vote, to cast her vote. And that's why many people would look at her as the face, the new face of democracy. But I'm being joined right now via virtually by a former deputy director of the State Department of State Services, that's the DSS. And he's going to be talking with me about the security situation and what needs to be done, what needs to be fixed between now and Saturday. That's the weekend. Mr. Dennis Macri, good morning. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Macri. Can you hear me? Mr. Macri, can you hear me? Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
It's good to have you join us. Good morning.
All right.
Yes. So let's start by, you know, doing a deep dive into what happened over the weekend on the 25th of February 2023. Now, for especially Lagos, you saw some of the things that happened, the threats that were being you know, meted out on the average voter in Lagos. We saw the heads of parks and garages management, MC Oluomo, at a particular polling unit, warning people, a group of people who he said were not willing to vote for his party and his candidate, to go home. We also saw a government official in Rivers State, who also came flanked by security agents, telling people who were not going to vote for the APC to go home. We also saw where ballot boxes were snatched. We saw young people with guns in Ikorodu shooting directly at voters. I mean, and then you saw the lady whose face was half, you know, I don't know what they used on her face, but, you know, she still came back to vote. These are just a few of some of the things that happened. And for an election that was long awaited, and, you know, we canvassed for people to come out, and you know, there was a great turnout, there was so much enthusiasm. What do you think was responsible for that kind or that level of insecurity?
Well, thank you for having me here.
Yeah.
You know, as we progress, we continue having new kinds of threats that are coming into play. Mm-hmm. Because this particular election, people were very, very ready to, you know, the enthusiasm was very high. Mm-hmm. And we believe that a lot of people will come out, and actually they started coming out. Mm-hmm. But you can see that the general turnout was very low, because some people went there, they were there from 6, 7 a.m., and then until 10 o'clock, there were no INEC people, and they have to go back home. And then, of course, the police that is supposed to maintain that 3 concentric circles whereby voters are going to be protected, didn't do a very good job about it, because we discovered that people were being wounded, they were shooting, and the whole of Nigeria, I think, if I'm very right, we had only 23 people arrested, which is infinitesimal, or should I say, does not exist. So I think there should be more seriousness, you know, when it comes to next election.
Just to, not to drag you back, but just to points to other issues, because you talked about the number of people that were arrested. There are people who are still asking why certain people are still walking free. And also, for, I know that you're not in charge of the police, but a police officer was caught on camera, national television, telling people that, well, he can't tell the difference between an infant and, you know, an adult. And I'm talking about underage voters here. And he also said that there was nothing that they could do, because INEC had given these children PVCs, then he cannot tell them not to vote. And this is an officer of the law who probably, in this case, does not understand what the Constitution says about some of these things. And these are the same people who are going to be, you know, enforcing the law come election day. What kind of magic are we expecting to happen? Because you see, just as you've said, this should not repeat itself. But what's the guarantee that that will not be the same thing that will happen?
Well, there will be no magic. There will be no magic. But we'll find out that there are some officers who are very, very offbeat. You know, offbeat in the sense that the original directive have been given. That's what we'll be saying also, even with the politicians. They will go and write a peace accord, and down the line, you find out that their followers or, you know, people who believe in them are doing something else, becoming very, very rascally. And then, of course, the worst part is where the police will throw their face away and you know, look the other way and not do anything about it. Because how can you say that you don't know the difference between an infant and an adult who is who has a stunted growth? So I think that's why many people were saying that, okay, the police themselves were compromised. You know, so a lot of compromise happened in the last election. Mm. And I hope that as we move into the next one, people will bring out those issues and then discuss them, especially the Inter-Parliamentary Consultative Committee on Election Security.
Mm-hmm.
I should sit down and talk more about all this kind of stuff.
Let me bring to your attention now, for election duty, that there's a story that says that staff of the Police Service Commission are currently stranded at different states of the Federation where they were deployed for the elections due to the non-payment of their allowances. So now we're talking about the welfare of these security agents who are supposed to also protect our polling units. If these people are not being paid, where's the encouragement that will drive their commitment to their jobs?
There will be none at all. There will be none at all because, in fact, I saw, was it in yesterday's paper or today, where the police was threatening to go on strike if the allowances are not paid. I think the police hierarchy should please, for the sake of Nigerians, you know, take care of these people. Because I know that the government has taken care of the security agencies in preparation for the election. And then, of course, INEC has also, you know, looking forward to the protection of the security agencies. But if these ones are having their own grudges, then the glitches are going to be more and more.
Hmm. Let's look at the police commissioner in Lagos called certain stakeholders to a meeting, somewhat to have more like a parley as to how the elections will pan out. We've heard the police give read riot acts, tell us the number of people they're deploying, and assure Nigerians that people will be safe. But let's look at the what the electoral act, you know, allows, and the number of police officers, you know, that we have already in the country, and the number of polling units that we have, and if they were to deliver on safety, how possible will it be? Now, we also have paramilitary agencies. We have other uniformed agencies. How do these people come together to help, you know, with the situation, the security situation around our polling units? Because, I mean, for some people, they were lucky to have the army pass or patrol around their areas to come to their aid when they were hit. But for some other areas, there was no police presence, no security. How do the polling units for people to want to even come out to vote?
Of course, you know that it's impossible for the police alone to police all the post stations that we have. And, you know, we have suggested that a strategy, you know, if they can use a particular strategy, and that would be mainly patrols and quick response. If they could use that kind of strategy, yes, they could cover a whole bunch of areas. But when you are not doing that, and you see just a few policemen that who are not armed at the police station, and that is how it's supposed to be, but if they are running into trouble, they should be able to call up for backup. you know, from the next line of action, the second ring of protection, you know. And if that one is becoming very, very difficult, they can call in the third ring, which is the military, you know. But we don't see a coordinated effort where this is happening. Mm-hmm. So I think this is an area that they, before the next election, I think we better sit down and look at this. Mm. Because Nigerians are growing, the apathy is getting too much. We don't want a situation where out of a country of more than 200 million, you know, only 20-something million will be voting our leaders to rule over us.
So we have so many problems on our hands. Unpaid allowances. They're not sure of, you know, getting those allowances anytime soon. These guys are on the verge of protesting. We also have, you know, a deficit of police officers to police all the polling units. We can barely tell if these other security agencies can even suffice. And we also have the average voter who's worried, sick, because of what they, most of them had experienced, or what experiences other people have had that they've seen that might, you know, one way or the other, cause some level of voter apathy. Let's not forget that from statistics, the number of people that came out to vote this year is way lower than what we had in the last election cycle. And this is due to several other indices, including insecurity. With all of this on the plate, and INEC still telling us that, oh, well, we're going to use the beavers. But then because the court has subpoenaed these beavers, if we don't get them on time, we may not necessarily be able to upload results onto the beavers. A potpourri of issues. And elections are just a few days away. Why do we take this long to make decisions that will affect us in the long run, especially for elections that we have 4 years to prepare for? And I'm not just putting this on the table of INEC, because INEC is not law enforcement, but this used to be your constituency, sir. Why do we wait till the last minute to plan for these kinds of very serious life-changing situations?
Well, I have to blame INEC, you know. I have to blame INEC, because INEC is the lead agency. And then, of course, the police is the lead agency in security. But INEC is in charge of everything that goes on that day, you know. So, these beavers that you've just mentioned, I think that was the most disappointing area that I think we've encountered during the last election. Because everybody put their hope on that beavers. Everybody. Even people were asking me, I was telling them, look, I need to come up with this technology, and I think this technology, it would be very, very impossible, you know, for people to play around with the elections. But you know, funny enough, INEC sabotaged the beavers. You know, they sabotaged it in the sense that they couldn't transmit again. They later could transmit some, and they couldn't transmit some of the other ones and stuff like that. Yes, we have a long time to prepare for this election, but I don't think that there is what we call a security pre-election practice where there'll be a dry run, you know.
There was a mock election that INEC conducted, even though they said that not many people came out, but there was one.
Then it didn't work out well, because if there was one, at least they should have pointed out or found out these glitches that they had. Because how can, on election day, the beavers are not working again, you know? And of course, there are so many little things, you know. The risk factor is very, very high, where they don't come early, you know. They don't start early. Some didn't bring the necessary materials that they were supposed to bring, you know. Indirectly, an outsider will look at it and say, oh, these people are purposely trying to sabotage the election, you know. So I think INEC has to put itself together, because this is not what they promised, you know. And of course, I remember very well where they were talking about real time mm-hmm. transmission by beavers, going to be real time, you know. And for people who don't even know what real time is that as you are transmitting it, they are also getting it at the same time at the headquarters. But this didn't happen. So I think it's a bad glitch that they should correct before we go to the next one, because we don't want a situation where people will start to now riot or protests, you know, because there is how far you can push the public, you know, in certain things, and you never know what could happen.
Let me ask you before we go on a quick break. We have just a few seconds. I'm just going to ask the question, and I'll let you answer when we come back. How can we get rid of violence during the elections? And when I'm talking about violence, I'm talking about violence before, during, and after the elections, because this has seemed to somewhat taint the image of our elections, especially across the world. People are always afraid. We see members of the diplomatic corps always calling on us to embrace peace. We see people even running out of the country because they don't want to be here when our elections happen, whether they're peaceful or not. Why do you think that this is, and how can we ever be able to move past this? You will answer that question when we come back on the break. We still have Dennis Amakri, who is a former deputy director of the DSS here, talking with us this morning about security and what our plans should be, what we need to tweak to get ready for Saturday's elections. We'll be right back. It's still the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station. We'll be back after this break. My name is Mary Anna Cohn.
Talk is what we do.
You know, the youth of Nigeria have historically been apathetic towards the electoral process. There's no way for the youth to participate in mainstream fields like oil and gas, banking, and so on. The youth are actively excluded from those fields. And so we just created our own way in tech.
Informed analysis, reliable and accurate.
We actually advocate you get your eyes checked at least once a year. When you go for an eye check, the routine things they check, they do for you is to check your visual acuity. Visual acuity is how good you see. A lot of us don't actually know that we don't see so well, but because, like I said, that we can count money, we think we're doing very well.
Your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Let's talk. This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3.
Yes, it is the Morning Crossfire on the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 8:35 is the time on the clock, and we still have with us Dennis Amakri. He is the former Deputy Director of the Department of State Services. We know them as the DSS. And we're looking at, of course, we're reassessing the security situation for the country, especially as we head into another round of elections, especially this is within the states. How do we make sure that the same mistakes are not made? And what do we need to do to put an end to this, you know, cycle of violence before, during, and after the elections? And that's the question I asked my guest just before we went on the break. Mr. Macri, thank you very much for staying with us. Mr. Macri, can you hear me? We can hear you. I think I can hear you. Okay, great. You were muted. All right, so I asked a question before we went on that break, and I really, because I guess that this is the question that every young Nigerian, even middle-aged, are wondering. How can we get over this situation? Because this is one of the major challenges that Nigeria faces as a country.
I would say that we're progressing. We're progressing because as we continue experimenting on new elections, the situations keep on getting better. And of course, the violent part of it, there will be a time when we don't even have to start going down to the polls to start lining up and all the rest. Because, you see, our politics is tainted with some kind of original primordial problems like religion and ethnicity and all kinds of things, you know. So, as we continue applying technology There will be a time when we can vote. We can vote from our phone, you know, holding our phone there, and then we vote. Because what's the difference between voting securely than even having your money withdrawn from the ATM, you know? So if you have the right passwords and firewalls, then, of course, you can go ahead and do your voting. And I think we're moving towards that. So people should at least be patient, and then let's see whether we can work it together. And then, of course, the second part of it is that we cannot just sit back and say, oh, some bad boys are going to come and carry ballot box or something like that. We are more than them. You know, when you go to any polling station, you see that there are more people there than these boys. So we will encourage everybody to have your phone with you. Mm-hmm. Although they will not let you carry it to the voting booth, but you can use your phone to call the nearest police or military formation. All their numbers are listed before the elections. So I think that's another thing that we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Not just sit down there and raise our hand and cry. Mm. So we should be able to, you know, help ourselves too.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open the phone lines because Lagosians want to talk to you. They want to ask questions. They want to comment on this issue. Well, Lagos, the phone lines are open. We got 12 minutes on the clock. 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. If you're a lady, call 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190. You can tweet at Nigeria Info with the hashtag Morning Crossfire. That's MCF. Or you can go to our live stream on YouTube and, of course, on Facebook. Just go there and post your comments. We would love to hear from you. Quickly, let's go to the phone lines first. Hello, good morning. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Nena.
Nena, go ahead.
And I want to ask, why is it that these INEC officials are not punished when they don't carry out what they are supposed, especially a duty like... election that can cause, you know, like you can probably say it's very dangerous, whatever mistake in quote, mm-hmm. they claim to have done. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And then the issue of somebody not handling something well and we're waiting for him to handle another one, it's so questionable. Do you understand me? You see some courts, you say, INEC official will say, I was giving bribe. And then the politician that gave him bribe is punished. And then the person is allowed to go back to the office to collect another thing. It's wrong. Once they are punished, once they know, even if it's your guy that is telling them to do this, how can you not come to a station 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 p.m.? And then we are just stuck. If we are going to start this election like zone by zone, when we finish probably northeast, we do northwest. Do you understand? Mm. So that the officials, both police and the INEC officials, will be ready. And then we do it like that.
Okay. All right.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate your thoughts. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Turn off your radio, please.
Yeah. Well, my name is Ngozi. I'm calling from Isola.
Go ahead.
Yeah. For me, I feel the whole electoral process was compromised. There is even no reason I feel INEC would have why they wouldn't have used the beavers as they themselves have given as a guideline, and is also in the Electoral Act. Secondly, why would the National Assembly and the Senate upload and only that of the presidency was not able to upload? You watch some of the videos from the core members that worked as an ad hoc staff for INEC. Mm-hmm. You discover some of them did not even have the correct password to those sites. Simply means somebody by now should be heading to jail. But because of the kind of society we live, everybody is just letting it go. It shouldn't. By now, INEC chairman should step aside. And another person should have taken up this responsibility if at all we want to get it right.
Okay.
Police officers are also accomplices to this thing. My own polling unit, police connived with these talks to thumbprint papers. I called on your radio station. I reported on that very day. Mm.
So they are compromised. The institutions that should be serving the democracy are also compromised in the hands of politicians. So it's a very pitiable state that we are. I really don't know how we are going to get it this time around.
Thank you very much for calling. Mr. Macri, if people are not punished, heads are not rolling, because that's the term we like to use a lot in these parts. If nobody's foot is held to the fire, how do we even make an inroad if we want to have free, fair, and credible elections?
I thank the lady that asked that question, because, you see, that is the crux of the matter. You know, when INEC officials are not punished, they know. And there is no reason whatsoever. If beavers are not working, why is it not working? Who is the computer programmer on the other end, you know, in the back end, who is doing this? You know, why are we transmitting House of Rep and senators, but presidential cannot go, you know? And that's the problem with our country here. There is no consequence management, you know, because when people know that there will be consequences, you know, for the things they are doing, then, of course, they will think twice. But when they do it, nobody talk about it. Even those people they arrested, they've not prosecuted them. After a while, they release them because their political godfathers are going to make phone calls and they will be released. And that is a fundamental Nigerian problem, which I think should be addressed. Because if we don't address this, we'll continue to live with these problems, and then, of course, it will make us give us some bad names.
Okay.
I'm very particularly worried about the international observers who might be sitting down in their hotel rooms and laughing. You know, this is not right at all.
Hmm. Okay, let's take a few more calls on this particular matter. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Joy calling from Lagos.
Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. You know what surprised me about all this election process? The way some people you did not even expect will be celebrating evil, wickedness that have taken place in this country. That will trouble me a lot. Those who need to talk that this thing is not right, they did not do this election, they will begin to congratulate. I don't know how we want to continue like this in this country. And you know all these policies they put, the poor suffer a lot. See now, and the president is sitting down there, they will continue to suffer in the leave office or what? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joy. Take it easy. Hello, good morning. Oh dear, apologies. Please call us back. 0700-993-993-993. Oh, apologies if that was you. Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Please turn off your radio.
Hello.
Turn off your radio and call me back. All right. When you call us, turn off your radio. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. What's your name, madam? Where are you calling from?
This is Pastor Ladipo.
Ah, Pastor Ladipo, Novix.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think we are talking about security.
Yes, we
are. Concerning this election.
Yes, absolutely.
For me, it's just painful and very pity that our security agencies has been compromised to an extent. So the way forward is this. The police officers, I know that Electoral Act does not allow police to carry guns close to the polling unit. But they can still make use of DSS and some of these people who will not be on uniform. But they will be monitoring that those elections, especially in those polling units, not on the major express. Because most of these atrocities are being committed in those polling units that are inside. Before they call security and they will come down, it will take time. So let them make use of some of these people who will stay and be eyewitness and see things for themselves. Like in my polling unit, some guys came, took the beavers, and after some time, they brought it back. Nobody could stop them. You know why? Because they are holding weapons. So if we have DFS like that, who just disguise, who will be around, at least that will help us a lot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Ladikbo, for calling. Hello, good morning. All right, please call us back. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Please turn off your radio.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn off your radio and call us back. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Lagos.
All right, Mr. Wisdom, go ahead.
All I have to say is that the election between two parties.
Nobody's talking about the election. We're talking about security here.
What the electoral has is in history. It's a record of history that he conducted the worst election in Nigeria. You should not forget, because Mandela of South Africa said it in one of his films, that
I'm so sorry. Your line is breaking, so it's not helping us to hear exactly what you're saying. I'm going to take a few more calls and then let Mr. Macri wrap things up for us here. Hello, good morning. Oh, dear. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm back.
Go ahead.
I'm from Turkey. Yeah. I think... the problem is actually the structure we have as a system we are creating as a people.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that the police is not enough to be in charge of security in Nigeria. How many police do we have, you know, following top guys? Take them away from the number of police we have. They will be able to know how many that will be able to guide over 170-something police units. And another thing is, when you talk about security, what is the salary structure? A policeman that you're paying $50,000, someone offered to give him $200,000 just for a day job, don't you think he will compromise? Yes, he will. Even the INEC officials. So we have this fundamental problem. Probably that's why they call us a third world country. Yes, we are. And we are not developing. What is stopping us from voting to the ATM cards. Over 200 million people, and only 23 million people is deciding the fate of 200 million people. Is it not funny? We don't even have up to 50% of the population to vote. But I'm sure that over 50 million Nigerians have ATM cards.
Okay.
So what are we saying? We know the truth, but we don't want to do it because we actually, you know, acting and living like a third world country. We are not developing. Okay. Nobody should say we're not developing.
We have to take other calls. Your 60 seconds is over. I'm going to quickly take this call and then we'll toss back to Mr. Macri. Hello. Apologies. Mr. Macri, you've heard many people seem to not have any form of, trust in this election. There's a lot of trust deficit amongst Nigerians right now because of the experience on February 25. But then the elections must hold and we must go out to, cast our votes. What of encouragement are Nigerians supposed to hold on to? What's the encouragement? Because I've had to be a motivational speaker all through last week into this week to encourage people to go out and cast their votes.
Yes, the people are right. They are very, very correct because when you look at it, even the police is not enough. The police we have, and we'll be advocating for the police to double its number, at least double its number. But I don't know, maybe because of funds, you can even see during just this last election, allowances to be paid to them, it's not paid. And what stops them, from even being compromised when a politician will come around and give each of them 50K? So that is another problem, and it's an area that we have to look at, because let it not be a self-defeating issue that we are into mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, somebody said that the people are celebrating even before the results are even announced. Yes. So, yes, don't worry about it. And that's why we say that carry your phones with you.
Okay.
If you see any infractions, take those pictures. And then, of course, when you look at they are going to court, and then the Supreme Court is going to ask for witnesses, you know. And then, of course, if you see things that happened in your place, you can come forward and say, yes, this is what happened, and this is what I videoed. So it is very, very important.
All right, Mr. Macquarie, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Our time is fast spent. Dennis Macquarie is former DSS director. Thank you for being here with us. And we're hoping that Saturday will go smoothly.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And that's it on this side of the clock, Lagos. We will go for a break, bring you the news. On the other side, we'll talk about the Naira redesign situation. And we're having Barrister Jide Ologun here in the studio with us. Dr. Jide Ologun, he's going to be here with us to talk about the legacy or the legalities around it. Stay with us.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.